Praise God. Isn't it good to be in the presence of God? Amen. I want to encourage you to come out to our prayer nights on Wednesday. We're going to be having some extended time of worship, extended time of being in His presence. And I want to encourage you to come out for that. It's always a very, very special time. So please come out and join us on these Wednesday nights during the fast. They're going to be an amazing time. Amen. Well, we're in a series right now on fasting and prayer. And we started last week just talking about fasting and prayer. And I want to share some things with you this morning. We're going to look together in 1 John chapter 2, which is where we're going to begin. Richard, would you turn me down just a little bit, please? As we think about prayer and fasting, I was thinking this morning, what is it that makes my fast so effective? And I'm looking at it on a personal level of that every year I look forward to the fast, and I feel like it's one of the most productive times that I have in the year in my relationship with the Lord. And so that's one of the reasons I look forward to it every year. But sometimes when I talk to others in the church, maybe they're new to fasting or whatever the reason may be, they sometimes will be candid and say, I didn't get that much out of fasting. You know, I didn't really receive that much out of it, or I'd like to get more, but I don't really get that much out of it. So then it causes me to be introspective and go, all right, well, what is it that is causing me to get so much out of my fast? And I was thinking about it this morning that, you know, fasting is not so much about restricting yourself from certain things. I think in some people's mind, fasting is, you know, well, I'm going to restrict myself from this because it's really hard and it's something that I really like. You know, I like sweets or I like candy or I like social media, and so I'm going to restrict myself from those things and somehow that's going to make my fast better. But it doesn't really work like that, does it? That's not exactly what it is. If I could simplify it, and we're going to break this down during the sermon, but if I could simplify it, really what fasting is for me is about making more spiritual choices every chance that I get. Just making spiritual choices. Throughout the day, you are faced with hundreds and hundreds of choices. And in most cases, you can choose a spiritual choice or you can choose a fleshy choice, right? You're sitting in this seat this morning because you chose a spiritual choice, right? You could have the flesh, probably, some of you, I know how it is. The flesh probably had a voice this morning and said, you don't have to go this morning. You know, you went to both Christmas services. Why you got to go now? And you're probably going to go to the prayer night. What is that? Is that your spirit speaking? Of course not. That's your flesh. That's the fleshy part of us. The flesh has a voice. The spirit has a voice. I'm going to show you all this from the word this morning. And so, I mean, just to give you an example, you know, I like to read news. I like to listen to podcasts. I listen to all kinds of podcasts. I listen to podcasts that aren't necessarily spiritual podcasts. Some of the podcasts I listen to might be a sports podcast, might be a political podcast. You know, I listen to a bunch of different stuff. But during the fast, I'm intentional to make a spiritual choice. So where I have a habit of where I might listen to a certain podcast, instead I might turn on the Bible app and just start listening to the Word. Okay, that's a spiritual choice. We go, well, does it really make a big difference by itself? No, but compounded day after day over hundreds of choices, it makes a significant difference. I mean, last Sunday before church, I have habits that I do on Sunday morning. But during the fast, I restrict myself from doing certain things. And even though on Sunday mornings, everything I'll do on Sunday mornings is already of a spiritual nature to get ready for the service. But last Sunday before service, you know, I just turned the Bible app on while I'm getting ready, and I listened to all 16 chapters of the book of Romans just while I'm getting ready. Well, boy, that affects you when you get up to preach. That affects you when you come into worship. Right? It's a spiritual choice. And most spiritual choices by themselves, isolated, they don't necessarily carry a tremendous impact. For example, if you choose to read your Bible one day, it's probably not going to have some amazingly explosive impact in your life. But if you choose that every day over 5 years, how many know now that's a life-changing decision. That's a life-changing choice. So during the fast, please don't minimize the fast down to, well, I said I wasn't going to have any Cokes, and that's your fast. I mean, come on. Now, if that's what you do, okay, you're going to get about that much out of it. So it's not necessarily about what I'm restricting, what I'm not restricting. I am restricting a lot of things in my life right now. That's part of what fasting is. But bigger than that, and way more than that, you know, for example, it wasn't part of my fast to listen to the Bible as much as I am, but I've just found myself on this every spare second I get, instead of turning to mindless entertainment of some kind, I'm just starting the Bible app, and I'm listening to the Word over and over and over again. And I'll probably make it through the whole New Testament at least once, you know, during this 21 days. Man, there's power in that. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning, because if we could say it like this, you know, God lives in a spiritual realm. Okay, we live in an earthly, primarily fleshy realm. But yet, everything we need is in that spiritual realm. And we kind of can float on both sides, in the sense of we're very fleshy and we're very earthly, yet we have a spirit. And if you're saved, then your spirit has been born again and you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. So you have God's Spirit on the inside of you. So we are fleshy beings, but we are also spiritual beings. But God is a spirit, and the Bible says that those who are going to interact with God, they're going to do it from a spiritual standpoint. Okay? And so we're going to talk this morning about making spiritual decisions. I want to talk first of all about the reality that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, lives and dwells on the inside of us. This is a reality of Scripture. We could read so many Scriptures that tell us this, but I wanted to look specifically at 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. And John said it this way. He said, "But the anointing that you received," and this is talking about the Holy Spirit, "the anointing that you received from Him abides in you." Everybody say abides. Abides. That means He lives. The Holy Spirit, if you are saved, the Holy Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. "The anointing that you receive from Him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you." Why? Because the Spirit of God, the one who knows everything, the one who created everything, the one who has no questions, because they've all been answered, lives on the inside of you. And look at what John says. He says, "You actually have no need that anyone would teach you." In other words, in a perfect world, if you could have complete access to the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you, you would have no need for anybody to ever teach you again, because the Holy Spirit could just teach you all the time, everything you ever need to know. As you walk through your daily life, He could say, "Uh-uh, don't do that." That's right. Why? Because this is not good for you. This, and this. What you ought to do is this. And you'd go, "Okay, yes, sir." And you could do that. And when you're making a decision about, you know, if you're young, I know I talk to young people all the time. I talk to some old people that are still making this decision of, you know, who should I be in relationship with? Should I date this person? Should I not? Should I marry this person? How many know the Holy Spirit in you can tell you the answer to that question? And if you leave Him out and you go make that decision on your own, you are in for a world of trouble, right? And that's with every decision. I mean, there's no trouble or problem or situation that you've ever gotten yourself into because you were following and listening to the Holy Spirit. It always happened because you left Him out of the equation, right? Because He would have always told you the right answer. He knows everything. And that's what this verse is saying. You have the Holy Spirit abiding in you, and you actually have no need that anyone should teach you. But as His anointing teaches you about everything. Everybody say everything. Everything. See, some people think that the only time the Holy Spirit will help you is about like biblical, spiritual, important things. That's not true. He knows everything, and those who ask Him will receive from Him. Those who ask Him will be instructed by Him. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us, and He has the answers for everything. I could stand up here for the entire sermon and tell you story after story after story of where I involved the Holy Spirit in my decisions and the way that it turned out because I did. over and over, from small, simple things that seem like they make no difference, all the way to huge financial decisions, life decisions, where I was going to live, where I was going to do ministry. I mean, when I came out of college, we had three churches that wanted Jen and I to come youth pastor. How do you make that decision? All good churches, all good pastors, all different cities. How do you know which one to do? You don't. You can guess. You got a 33.3% chance of making the right decision. You can guess, or you can pray and you can seek God until you get an answer from the one who knows everything, and he can tell you, this is the path that I have for you. And that's where the path of blessing is. You don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you have made massive mistakes in your life that you know could have been avoided if you had listened to the Holy Spirit? There's not a person in here that wouldn't raise their hand. We all have. But she says, the Holy Spirit lives in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. Let me read this out of the New Living Translation. It says, but you have received the Holy Spirit, and he lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true, for the Spirit teaches you everything that you need to know. Praise God. Now, of course, we know from Scripture that God gave the body of Christ teachers and pastors and prophets and all that. So it has to be balanced with everything. He's not saying that you're an island and you never need, you know, anything else in your life. He's just making the point that because you have the Holy Spirit in you, you have access to all knowledge. You have access to all wisdom. You have access to all information. You don't need Google or ChatGPT to figure everything out. You have access to the one that has all correct knowledge and information living on the inside of you. And there are whole portions of the body of Christ that are never taught anything about the Holy Spirit. They barely even mention the Holy Spirit. Oh, they talk about Jesus, they talk about God, but they barely even talk about the Holy Spirit because they're afraid of some of the gifts that come with the Holy Spirit. They're afraid if you start talking about the Holy Spirit, then all of a sudden you got all these other weird things that come along with it. Okay? But listen, God gave us the Holy Spirit as a gift, and Jesus said that it's actually more beneficial and advantageous for you that I leave so that the Holy Spirit can come. That's how Jesus thought about the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is a critical part of every believer's life, and some of us are accessing that benefit more than others. And we're going to talk about that as we go through this today. How many of you remember that movie back in the day, Back to the Future, Part 2? I mean, maybe you've seen all of them. But in Back to the Future, Part 2, Biff finds the almanac that Marty had. You remember the almanac that it went back in, and it could, and then he brought it back in the past. And so now he had access to all future events. And the whole movie, you know, makes himself a millionaire because he knows all the answers before they happen. He knows all of the sports scores, and so through betting and things like that, he knows everything. Now, just so you know, the Holy Spirit's not going to do that for you. He's not into gambling. He's not going to help you in that way. But way better than that, you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. And don't lie, some of you have fantasized about if you could have that almanac and how your life would be different, or if we could just go back in time and I knew what I know now, oh, I would have just done this. You know, we all would have bought Apple stock, you know, back in the day. We'd all be millionaires. Okay, but that's not the purpose of the Holy Spirit, to make you rich and all of your selfish desires and things like that. But the stuff that you do need to know, he has access to it. Every important aspect of your life, for your marriage, for your family, for your children, for your future, for where you live, whether you change jobs, change careers, move locations, change churches, every single thing that you do, the Holy Spirit lives in you, and he knows exactly what you need to do. And his job and his role is to help instruct you in that direction. Just go read John chapter 14. Go read what Jesus said the role of the Holy Spirit is in John chapter 14, 15, and 16. Go read what he says the role of the Holy Spirit is. He says so many things about him. He says he'll comfort you. Praise God, he's a comforter when you're mourning and you're in time of trouble. He says that he'll reveal truth to you. When you can't tell the difference between truth and a lie, he says the Holy Spirit will reveal truth to you. It says that he'll show you things to come. That's the future. He'll show you things to come. He will reveal God to you. So there's so many things that the Holy Spirit will do, and He lives on the inside of you. But, and some of us might think, well, okay, I've heard this, I know this, I know the Holy Spirit lives in me, He's got all these amazing things, but why do I find it so difficult then to communicate with Him? Why do I find it so difficult to have that kind of relationship that you're talking about? It's very simple. He is spiritual, you are fleshy. Flesh and spirit don't communicate. See, you can hear me this morning with your physical ears because I'm speaking to you with my physical mouth. And you can hear me very clearly. That's not how God speaks. That's not how God communicates. See, the Bible is very clear that, guess what? Your spirit has ears. They're called spiritual ears. Jesus said many times, He said, he who has an ear, let him hear. He was talking about spiritual ears. Everybody was hearing Him with their physical ear. Everybody was hearing Him teach and talk with their physical ear. But why did He say, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying? Because there's a different kind of listening. There's a different kind of hearing with your spirit. And I'm going to break it down. I want to make it real simple. If you hear me talking and you think, this is still confusing, this is still complicated, I'm going to make it as simple as I can this morning. But basically what you need to know is that the more fleshy you are, the harder it's going to be for you to communicate with the Spirit. And the more spiritual you are, now I'm not talking about fake spirituality, people who pretend to be spiritual, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about spiritual maturity as the Bible describes. The more spiritual that you are and the more spiritual that you live and the more spiritual that you think and operate, the easier time you will have communicating and fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. Okay? So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul does a great job of explaining this. So we're going to just go through 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and the beginning of chapter 3. Now remember, these chapters they're written all as one long letter. So we're going to cross over into chapter 3 because this is one thought that Paul is having. So 1 Corinthians 2:9 is where we're going to begin. And he says, "But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him." Now, I've heard this scripture preached many, many times where people, they stop there and they read that passage and they say, look, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart of man has imagined the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. And they preach it like it's talking about eternity, and man, God has all this amazing stuff planned for us, and no eye has seen it, no ear has heard it, no heart could even imagine the things that God has planned for us. Now, I believe that's partially true, but that's definitely not what this scripture is saying. If you read the very next verse, it says, "No eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor heart of man has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. But these things God has revealed to us." How? Through His Spirit. So the things that no eye can see, physical eye, the things that no eye can see, no ear can hear, no heart of man can imagine, he says you can know how? By it being revealed to you by God's Spirit. So he says God has revealed these things through His Spirit. Now look, "For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God." You think about the mystery of who God is. That the ways that the Bible says that His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. It says that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, has searched and known God in all of His depths. And He lives in you, and it is His pleasure to reveal God to you. So the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. "For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God." Wow. The Holy Spirit knows and understands the thoughts of God. Even though His ways are higher than our ways and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, talking about natural thoughts, yeah, but you have the Holy Spirit who has searched the mind of God, knows the mind of God, knows the thoughts of God living on the inside of you. We got to access that. We have to learn how to be in tune with that. So he said, nobody knows the thoughts of a person except that person which is in him. And in the same way, no one can comprehend the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. How are we going to understand the things that have been given to us by God? He says it's through His Spirit. It's by the Spirit that's been given to us. Verse 13, and we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom. Okay, so Paul is now saying the things that the Holy Spirit has revealed to me, the revelation that I've gotten from God, that the Holy Spirit has shown me, he says, I'm trying to impart this to you. How? Through physical words, right? He says, I'm trying to impart this to you, but I'm not going to do it through just a human wisdom. See, when this works best, when teaching works best, it's when we're on a different wavelength. It's not just physical ears that are hearing. Because listen, you can have all kinds of people sitting in here this morning. You can have people that are listening with their physical ear and they're tuning it out and they're like, this is the dumbest thing I ever heard. I don't understand anything he's talking about. And then you can have people that in their spirit, the Holy Spirit is active and they're going, man, I'm getting everything that God has to say to me today. Because I can understand that this is not just human words that are coming out. The Holy Spirit's trying to teach us something this morning. And that's what Jesus meant when he said, he that has an ear, let him hear. So he said, we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit. Interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. And this is the whole issue. Those who live, think, act, talk, behave all of the time in the flesh are going to have a really hard time receiving spiritual truths. The more spiritual you are, the more spiritual you think, the more spiritual you act, the more spiritual you talk, the more spiritual you pray, the more you yield to the Spirit instead of to the flesh, the easier time you are going to have communicating, contacting, and understanding what the Spirit of God is saying. So he says, we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. Those who are spiritual are going to be able to receive spiritual things easier than someone who lives constantly in the flesh. Verse 14, the natural person, he's talking about the person that just lives by the natural inclinations of this earth all of the time. They just do what their flesh wants to do. See, this is how the world thinks. The world says these types of things all the time. They say, well, just do whatever makes you feel good. That comes from a complete misunderstanding of how the human being is designed. When a person says, just do whatever makes you feel good, who are we talking about? Are we talking about your spirit? Or are we talking about your flesh? Because if you just do whatever makes the flesh feel good all the time, you are going to wreck and destroy your life. Completely. You might as well think of the flesh like a giant 2-year-old toddler that has no regard for anyone else and is full of desires for food when it wants it, sleep when it wants it, toys when it wants it, just everything it wants, and could care less if I'm keeping you awake, could care less if I'm vomiting on you, throwing it, don't matter. I don't even think about none of that, because a 2-year-old is the perfect picture of the flesh and the sin nature. Just somebody that wants to do what it wants to do, when it wants to do it, and has zero regard for anybody else around it. Okay? That's pretty much every 2-year-old you ever met, right? That's why they call them the terrible twos. But as they mature, there becomes an awareness and there's change, but that's basically what the flesh is. That flesh and sin nature, we learn to control the flesh as we grow and as we mature, and especially as we learn about our spirit, and we learn that the spirit has desires and the flesh has desires, and we learn the fruit that comes in the book of Galatians, we learn the fruit that comes from yielding to the spirit, and we learn the fruit that comes from yielding to the flesh. Okay? So Paul says here in verse 14, he says, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. You cannot get everything that God has from you from simply just the natural. This is why I've talked to so many people that say this. They say, well, I sat down to read the Bible and I didn't understand it. Why? Because the natural person can't understand the things of God. You know who can understand the Bible? A heart that has been regenerated and is filled with the Holy Spirit. And as you're reading the Bible, you're partnering with the Holy Spirit, who is revealing truth to you as you read the words of God. That's the role of the Holy Spirit. I don't ever want to read the Bible without the help of the Holy Spirit. I start trying to read the Bible without the help of the Holy Spirit, my eyes are going to glaze over and I'm going to fall asleep. No, before I read the Bible, I ask the Holy Spirit to help me understand and to show me things. Even though I've read this 100 times, show me things that I didn't see. Bring revelation to me by your Spirit. Because why? He has studied the depths of God. He knows the thoughts of God. He knows the mysteries of God. And the Bible says that he's in us to reveal those things to us. Amen. But he says the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. You have a big part of you, the flesh, that doesn't understand the things of God. Every now and then, this might creep up. Every now and then, no matter how long you've been saved, it might creep up every now and then. You go, you know, this whole thing don't really make sense. I don't know about this. God created the world in 7 days, you know, the flood. You can start going through the things. The natural man sometimes will react. The natural man sometimes, the fleshy part, will still raise its head and go, I don't know if I understand all that. Well, yeah, that's because the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. It is, actually, Romans tells us that it is hostile towards the things of God. It is the sin nature. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly or foolishness to him. And he is not able to understand them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. They are spiritually discerned. So again, making it as simple as we possibly can. If you want to understand the things of God, you've got to be a spiritual person. You go, well, how do I become a spiritual person? You make spiritual choices. As simple as that. You make spiritual choices. Today when you go home, you have an opportunity to sit on the couch and turn the TV on. That's not sin. Well, depending on what you watch. You turn on a football game. That's not sin, but it is a fleshy choice. I got no problem with it, okay? You can do that. It's not sinful. Just know this. It doesn't lead you into what we're talking about today. It doesn't lead you into being a spiritual person. Now, every one of us have fleshy choices in our life, okay? But if you've got too many fleshy choices in your life, you are a fleshy person. You are a natural person, as the Bible describes. The more spiritual choices and spiritual decisions and spiritual disciplines and spiritual habits that you have in your life, you are going to be a spiritual person. Okay? If you have, if you choose, like we're talking about the going home and clicking on the football. Okay? There's nothing. It's not sin. But if I do that, that's a fleshy choice. And I just need to be aware of it. It doesn't even mean I'm not going to do it. I just need to know the difference. This is a fleshy choice. Now, I have a spiritual choice in front of me too. Instead of doing this, I know it doesn't sound like fun and your flesh is going to react when I say this. But instead of watching football, you could go read your Bible. And you go, well, I was just at church. I understand. I'm not judging you. It's fine. If you want to do it. You just need to know what you're doing. You need to understand the difference. I can do this fleshy thing and that's going to have its consequence, or I could do this spiritual thing and that's going to have its consequence. My life is not going to be all spiritual choices. But it certainly doesn't need to be all fleshy choices. And some people's life is dominated by, some people don't even ask, they don't even check their spirit when they're making a decision. It's just all dominated by the flesh. The flesh wants to eat, I eat. Flesh wants to eat that, I eat that. The flesh wants to sleep, I sleep. Whatever the flesh wants to do, the flesh wants to talk like this to that person. Right? Just let it out. I say whatever's on my mind. Uh-oh, you just told me you live and you're guided by the flesh. That's a fleshy person. That's a fleshy person that speaks their mind every time a thought comes to it. The Bible actually says that is an unspiritual person whose religion is false if they don't bridle their tongue. So see, we could just go on, and I'm trying to explain this in a way that we can understand. Every day you are faced with, am I going to let the flesh rule or am I going to let the spirit rule? And the way that you become a spiritual person who's in tune with the Holy Spirit of God and is hearing instruction from the Holy Spirit of God and is fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit of God and has access to all of this knowledge and wisdom that the Holy Spirit has, it is a person who is spiritual and didn't just make one spiritual choice, but is making spiritual choices every day. Amen. First Corinthians chapter 3, Paul continues this thought. Because he's explaining all of this to them in chapter 2. He's saying, there are some things that God wants to get to you. There's some things that you need to understand, but you're not getting them. And he begins to explain it in chapter 3. He continues his letter, verse 1. It says, but I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. So I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? So Paul makes this amazing connection, and he says, I've got all of this revelation that the Holy Spirit has given to me, but you're still in the first grade, and I can't go on to these other things that would help you, that would elevate your understanding and your knowledge of God in every area of your life. He said, I can't take you there because you're still just infants in Christ. And he tells them the reason why. He says, you're not spiritual. You're not spiritual. He says, you're still behaving in a fleshy way. And he gives this one example. He says, for there is jealousy and there is strife. Now, what he was talking about was that there was arguing and there was bickering and there was division in the church. And he said, people that are truly spiritual have left all that behind. There ain't going to be this little bickering, fighting, arguing over this. A person that is spiritual and is being led by the Spirit, in that moment where strife comes up, they will yield to the Spirit instead of to the flesh. Listen, if you're having strife and fighting and arguing and bickering in your marriage or in your family, you can trust it's because there's a lot of yielding to the flesh. That's not there because people are yielding to the Spirit. If you are yielding to the Spirit, what are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, meekness. There's no strife in there. No, that's one of the fruits of the flesh. So you see, everything comes back to this. Everything comes back to this. What we can receive from God is determined by how spiritual we are or by how fleshy we are. When you first get saved, you're still very fleshy. And the Bible says, that's what this Paul is trying to explain to him right now. He says, I can't address you as spiritual people, because you're infants in Christ. See, when you first get saved, you're still very fleshy. But listen, as you mature in Christ, he's saying you should become more and more and more spiritual. Things that you did, that you allowed your flesh to do in year one of being saved, ought not still be there in year three. Okay, your habits, the way your habits and your disciplines and the way your church attendance, your servanthood, your leadership in the church, all of these things, the way they looked in year one, it ought not be the way it looks in year five, year 10, right? There's supposed to be a growth pattern. There's supposed to be a spiritual maturity. And whatever it is that you're experiencing, it's because you've made decisions that were spiritual in nature or they were fleshy in nature. Okay. And I don't want this to overwhelm you. All right, I know some people hear a sermon like this and they walk away discouraged and they're like, oh my Lord, this just sounds like a lot of work. It happens one decision at a time. And I'm amazed. I'm always amazed during the fast at how quickly it can turn. I mean, we're only 3 days into the fast. I already feel better. I feel fantastic. And it's just 3 days in. just from some very small tweaks. Now, I already have a lot of spiritual disciplines and things like that in my life, but just some small decisions of going, hey, instead of doing this, I'm going to do this. And the fruit that comes out of it is tremendous. I think it's the enemy that tries to convince us, oh, you got this gigantic mountain to climb. You're just so far off. It would take you years to get where you need to be. I beg to differ. I think a 21-day fast is just the thing you need. I think in 21 days, that's why I love the fast so much. I think in 21 days, you would be shocked at how far God can take you in just 21 days from you being purposeful and intentional to make spiritual decisions. And watch how the tide turns in your life. You know, if I, and we experience this a lot during the holidays, if I walk up to a dessert table and I see a vegetable tray, my first thought is, who brought that? Yeah. And then I see this decadent, you know, death by chocolate or whatever other amazing name they can come up with, and I see these two things. I have a choice, right? Now, I'm giving this as an example. I'm not saying that it's a spiritual choice to choose the vegetable tray at all. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is we understand this from natural standpoint. Now, this is the exact same way it works with spiritual things. So please get the example in the illustration, okay? If I choose death by chocolate, it's not going to have that great of an impact, that one choice. If I choose the vegetable tray, it's not going to have that great of an impact. Sure, it was a healthy choice to choose the vegetable tray, okay? And the one choice, and which is why we do it, you know, which is why we choose the chocolate cake, is because we go, oh, just one. It ain't gonna hurt nothing, you know. Just it's the holidays, you know. You just do it. It ain't a big deal. And I'm definitely not eating that anyway. celery, that does not deserve to be on the dessert table, by the way. But healthy choices, one by themselves, it just doesn't do anything. And that's why they're hard to do. Because when you go, I'd have to do that, I'd have to pick that like hundreds of times for this to make a difference. And then our thought always is, well, I'll start in a week from now, or I'll start in January, you know. But we understand this from a very natural standpoint when it comes to, say, for example, healthy living. I'm either making healthy choices with my diet or I'm making unhealthy, and one by themselves doesn't really do a lot. It's the issue that the choices are stacking in nature, and they stack and they compound. Okay, again, if you go home today and you make a fleshy choice, it's not going to really hurt that much. Or if you go home and make a spiritual choice, it's not going to produce this unbelievable fruit. And then that's why people go, well, I tried praying for a couple days and it didn't, you know, I didn't feel any different. Well, again, if you choose the vegetable tray a couple days, it's not going to do that much by itself. That's not how it works. It's choosing and making the right choice, the consistency and the faithfulness to do it over a long period of time. And I'm just sad to say that the world that we live in, nobody wants it like that. We hate that. We hate that there's this delayed effect, and anything good in life, you got to do it for a long time and be faithful and consistent. We'd rather it just be instant, right? We'd rather take a pill. We'd rather have an injection. We'd rather have some quick result that gets results faster, and we're always looking for a way to get results faster. And if I had found out what it was, I would tell you what the faster track was. The only thing I know that seems to be a little bit faster is fasting. You can fast track your spiritual life through a fast done correctly. And that was God's idea. I didn't come up with fasting. God's the one that created fasting. But even so, it's not a fast process. It's something that you've got to be sold out to. It's something that this has to be your new way of life. This is who I am, surrendered to Jesus, surrendered to His Word, surrendered to what I read in the Bible. This is my life. This is my lifestyle. This is how I'm going to live every day of my life. And when I get off, I'm going to make adjustments and get back. When I find myself getting too fleshy and away and neglecting things. I'm going to adjust and I'm going to get back to my habits and my patterns and doing things the way I know to do them. That's where the fruit is. That's where the result is. And I don't know about you, but every time I make the adjustment and I get back strong and right where I need to be, I always find myself looking back and going, what was I thinking? I'm enjoying myself so much more living this way than I was living by the flesh. So Paul said, brothers, I couldn't address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. And Paul's whole point is to say, we got a lot more things we need to do. We got a lot more places we need to go, but we got to grow up spiritually to get there. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says, for those who live according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. In other words, they walk around thinking just about things of the flesh all the time. But those who live according to the Spirit, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, meaning it will ultimately lead to death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. And then we could get into all that Paul says in the book of Romans about choosing to walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. I encourage you to go read that, Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to skip past that part because we don't have time this morning, but that's one of the things you can go read yourself to accompany this sermon is Galatians chapter 5, where Paul explains so much of this. Galatians 5 and 6, where he talks about the Spirit and the flesh and how they fight against each other and the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of the flesh. It's all in there. Galatians 5 and 6. Go read it, and it'll help you in this journey. So during the fast, what I want to challenge you from this sermon, just if you have one takeaway, what I want to challenge you is when you, during the fast, let's just be purposeful about making some more spiritual decisions than fleshy ones. And it's going to be way harder when you're not in this building and you're at home and the sermon's not fresh, but just do it for 21 days and see what happens. Just do it for the length of the fast and see the results so you can know what's possible. So that you can see how your relationship with God can grow and how your sensitivity to the Holy Spirit can increase. And I truly believe there are people that at the beginning of this fast that might say, man, I pray, I don't hear anything from God. By the end of the 21 days, I would be interested to talk to you and see, how is that now? How has that changed now? How has that adjusted now that you devoted this time to being spiritual instead of fleshy?